Hello, George.
Hello. So I understand that you were arrested and that you think this might have been a racial profiling?
Actually, detained is the proper word.
Mm-hmm.
What happened is I came to sort of participate in the march today, and I was trying to find it. I was kind of late. So I walked sort of around the downtown area towards North Station and the Fleet Center, and I didn't hear any noise or anything, so I thought I missed it. But while I was there, I was at the security perimeter, that zone, and I just sort of, like, walked around, checked it out, like, looked around, stopped a few times, and apparently that's why they pulled me in. Simply because they took me in because I walked around, looked about, and stopped a few times. I mean, later I did find the march when I got to Boston Common. I sort of retraced my steps and I heard the marchers. So I joined the protest, and what happened is about 10 or 15 minutes later, some guy walked up to me. He didn't identify himself and said, could I talk to you on the edge of the sidewalk or something? And I said, why can't we just talk right here? And he said, well, it's kind of all these people coming in the middle of the street. And I said, you know, I'd rather not. So I just, you know, walked away. I don't need to talk to anybody for, you know, no reason if they're not telling me why or who they are. So about 20 minutes after that, two guys, I guess one from the Secret Service, maybe the other guy was from the local police, sort of grabbed me and maybe put my arm back or something. They were definitely holding me, and they said, come with us, and they pushed me into an alley. And I said, well, what's going on here? Like, why are you, lifting me like this? You know, why are you pushing me and all this? And they wanted to take me away at some isolated site. And they sat me down on some stairs. And that's when they explained to me that they were holding me, not arresting me, but holding me because I had sort of looked around the security area, and it raised their suspicion.
Mm-hmm. Why do you feel this was a possible racial profiling?
Well, because my parents are from India, so I have a certain complexion, and I have been growing a beard and all that, so maybe I fit into their stereotype or something. I don't know. I just wonder if I was like an albino, you know, with no facial hair, if this still would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who knows?
So what was the ultimate outcome? They detained you for a number of hours. And
well, first they said when I sort of, I met with my attorney, John, and he sort of negotiated, you know, was sort of talking to the police and consulting them. And they had agreed that if it's just they asked for my identification, but when I didn't give that up immediately, they said, well, we'll just take your photograph, and then we won't ask for your name, just submit to a photograph and that'll be it. So we did that reluctantly, because I still felt all along that there's no foundation for their detention. But we gave that, and then they called some superior or whatever and claimed that I had to go away with them to this to the police station. So they reneged on that deal. They took me in with the police car. I asked for my attorney. They said he could come with me, and they just left him there. So they lied about that. And so they took me to this detention room in the police station, and they were sort of asking me questions. They searched my bag.
What kind of questions were they asking you? And by the way, if you can just
mainly they wanted to identify me. They were explaining what I was doing. Maybe they wanted some explanation of, you know, why I was there. I told them basically I was just looking around. And they were, you know, I was, they were sort of hinting at the consequences if I didn't cooperate and give them my identification and all this stuff. And eventually I did give them my identification. Perhaps I should have held out longer, but I don't know. I didn't necessarily want to spend hours upon hours, you know, in detention and all that. So I, under protest, I did give them my name and all that stuff, and they looked it up, and they said that they wanted to verify that I wasn't who they thought maybe I was. So, you know, it was stuff like that. And when I left, when they did say I could go before I left, I said, is there somebody that I look like? You know, and he was, and the Secret Service guy just said, well, you know, we have the FBI or whatever keeps a list or whatever, most wanted, blah, blah, blah. He didn't really get into any specific answer. So, and then, you know, I just, you know, they, all this time I was in handcuffs after they put, you know, took me away, you know, to the steps, and then all throughout the police station and all that. And they just, you know, unlocked the handcuffs, and I just walked out. And there was a group outside the police station waiting for me, and I sort of hooked up with them, and that was pretty much the end of it.
Well, thanks for that report. I appreciate you calling in, letting us know what's going on. So basically just detained you for a few hours and interrogated you. There's not going to be any charges.
No, I don't believe so.
So,
but basically, just to summarize, I mean, they took me in just for a walking, looking around, and stopping, you know.
Right.
Which seems like a lot of people did that, you know. So that's what makes me suspicious, you know, about this whole case.
Yeah, well, it is disturbing.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate the report.
Sure.
If you want to call back later, you're more than welcome. And if Roberto would like to call back later, you're more than welcome.
Okay.
He's more than welcome as well to call in and give reports.
Okay, I'm going to give it back to Roberto.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Thanks, George. John Pavlov, his lawyer here, is, I don't know what your time frame is. But
I have an interview in 5 minutes.
Well, if you'd like to talk to him a little bit about what's going on here with other incidences and so on, he's got some information and an idea of the zones and so on.
All right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
His name is John Pavlov.
Okay.
Pavlos. I'm
Pavlos.
Sorry. Okay, here's John.
Hello, George.
Hello, John. How are you?
I'm well. How you doing?
Pretty good. So Roberto was telling me that you can speak to some other situations that have arisen, not just the case we just heard about, but evidently there's been some other disturbing events that have occurred.
Well, we're definitely hearing some of the stories that are being gathered right now at the end of the march. But this is certainly the most prominent one, the one that I have some personal, you know, was there for, and so I have some personal observations about it. But we're trying to gather, you know, any information people have. There were a number of legal observers here today, and people are pretty much going to have to coordinate and, you know, talk about any other incidents that were involved, these bogus arrests today. I think one of the concerns is that tomorrow, when there is not an organized, you know, parade that had been somewhat negotiated with the city officials, that tomorrow when other groups of protesters might go down and try to, you know, express their First Amendment rights down there in front of the Fleet Center, are going to be, I think, more vulnerable because there will be fewer media covering the protesting. There will be smaller groups of protesters. And so if we had to anticipate the rest, I think it's tomorrow that we're kind of looking at to see, you know, how these police state tactics are going to be used in a more general way.
Are you with the National Lawyers Guild?
No, I am not.
So are you just there on your own?
I was one of the attorneys. I was on the legal team that filed in federal court asking the judge for an injunction to allow, you know, essentially ordering the city to provide the permit that was requested by Answer Boston, Local 8751, which is the school bus drivers, City Councilor Chuck Turner, Councilors Chuck Turner and Arroyo, among others. So I'm the union lawyer, and was a lawyer to answer Boston.
How many arrests have taken place so far? You mentioned some arrests.
Well, I can't be certain about those.
But there has been some arrests.
We think there have been additional arrests, but we're trying to find out who and when and what they what they consisted of.
So what does
the march has just ended? So we're trying to gather that information.
What disturbed you about the incident we just heard about?
Someone that was attempting to join the protest in an area where the public has been given access. It's a pedestrian walkway. He was not in any area that has been considered a security zone. And many people were down there today, certainly from the march itself, trying to look at the march route and in advance of the several thousand people that were going to go down there to look at it and make sure everything was, copacetic before we marched. So there were a number of us, including myself, that was down there looking around at all of these, so-called areas and targets and so forth. I mean, it's a walkway in front of a bunch of businesses. That's what it is. And to refer to it as some kind of security zone is exactly one of the things that we're out here protesting. This was an area open to the public, and that's where this man was. And once he joined the march, he was singled out and arrested. And it's clear from some of the observers that were here and many eyewitnesses that the only difference is that they were conducting racial profiling with this man and wanted to ask him why he was looking at the same things that I was.
Yeah.
Earlier in the day.
And the Democratic.
So what's disturbing about it is that they conducted a street-level interrogation while he was in handcuffs. They tried to isolate him away from the group and any legal observers, and when he wouldn't provide them with what they should be quoted as asking for credentials, as in a police state, and he wouldn't provide them that information because he didn't think it was, he's there expressing his rights under the First Amendment that he should have to provide that information. They tried to make agreements once supporters and myself intervened, and including that if they took his picture, they'd release him and he'd walk away with us. They reneged on that. They put him in a car, in a cruiser, a Boston police cruiser, and took him away. And once we found out where he was and went to the Area A precinct, they told us that Secret Service was interviewing him, even though he'd invoked his right to counsel. And I guess for myself, a practitioner here in Massachusetts, this is Massachusetts law. And if someone is being interrogated and invokes their right to counsel and, in fact, has a conversation with their counsel before they're taken away in cuffs, that under the law, they need to give me access. And they denied that and interviewed him anyhow. So there are a number of disturbing facets, both general and then specific to him.
Well, thank you, John. Thanks, and if you would like to call back at any time, you're more than welcome to call in and report at any time.
Oh, great, because there will be, we expect some developments on this in the coming days.